so much. If you have your Bibles, take and open up to the book of John. The book of John in the 9th chapter. John chapter 9. We do have so much to be thankful for today and the blessings that we have received. And how true, I agree, Miss Deanne, that song that you sang about, "Can I Pray for You?" That is our most powerful tool in the toolbox, without a doubt. John chapter 9. While y'all are turning there, you know, kind of like talks about the prayer being the most powerful tool. You know, when things always went wrong and you were a kid, you ran to mama and to daddy. And if mama couldn't fix it, you knew daddy was going to, right? And that's the same way our Heavenly Father is. We are the children. So we can always, always go to daddy. There's not anything, should not be anything we cannot tell him. And, you know, a lot of folks says, yeah, but he already knows about it. All you're doing is what Jerry was saying, confessing it. That's all it amounts to. He already knows it. John chapter 9, title of the message is Miracles Still Happen. In our world today, people often think, well, miracles were things of the past, and we don't know today. We want to call them coincidences. There's not a coincidence one. They are miracles. Just as none of you today are here by chance, the music, the songs they chose, the scriptures been read, or anything we've done is by chance. God had a reason and a purpose for every bit of it. So the title of the message is Miracles Still Happen. I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word as we look to John chapter 9. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered and said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he said these things, he spat upon the ground and made a clay with a saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated as sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seeing that he was blind, said, "Is not this he who said it and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore, they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and I washed and I received sight." They then said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." You may be seated. And I'll stop reading there. This chapter continues forward, and the Pharisees, Sadducees bring him before them and question him diligently on how this event has happened. Isn't that something? I mean, you see a miracle take place like this where a man has been blind from birth. You recognize him as one who sat on the corner and begged because he could not work. He had no sight, and in this day and time, it wasn't near the opportunities that we have for folks who are blind today. And yet, rather than praising God for the fact this man had received his sight, all they wanted to do was know, well, how'd that happen? Why did it happen? How come you were blind in the first place? All these questions. Now, before we condemn them too hard, folks, we do the exact same thing. Okay? So let's not be too quick to judge them. But think about that for a minute. Now, this scripture that is written here and what Jesus performed in doing this is salvation in the work. And that's exactly what it is when you look at this. Look at this man. He was blind from birth. The gospel tells us that we are inherently sinful because we were born of human flesh, and it was in our nature, in man's nature, to have sin from the very beginning of the time of the sin in the Garden of Eden. There's nothing we can do about it. It's not my fault, not your fault, not my parents' fault. It's born that way. This man was also born this way. And notice also in this that Jesus comes to him and he looks upon him and he says, neither have done this. And so then he spits upon the ground and makes some clay, puts it in his eyes. He tells him to go and be washed and he will be clean and be seeing. You see, sin blinds every one of us. Before we knew who Jesus was and came to him, we thought life was perfect. It was just the way things are. And there's still people today that believe that. You'll hear people say, well, I don't believe there's any afterlife. When you're dead, you're dead. They're blinded. The Pharisees were blinded. They could not see God's hand in this miracle. We see things happen today and they go, well, that was you just lucky. That's all that is. No, I'm not lucky. God allowed that blessing to fall. Now, the other side of this coin is, notice they ask first, even his own disciples say, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says, neither one of them sinned. Now, that relates to you and I in that sometimes what befalls us, the trial or the tribulation we're in, has nothing to do with whether or not we've obeyed God or hadn't obeyed God. Jesus says the whole purpose of his blindness was so that the people could see the works of God in front of them. And yet we want to write those off. We don't recognize the miracles that happen every day. I'm going to tell you, look around this room. It's all right. Go ahead and turn your head. Look around here. Who all's in here today? However many people you just laid eyes on, how many miracles you see. If you're looking up here at me, you're seeing another miracle. Okay? You see a miracle sitting right back yonder. Not only is most recent to getting out and getting paroled out of the physical therapy, but the day he accepted Jesus Christ, he will tell you that. Danny over there has written a book called Miracles for Breakfast. You see, if you and I have come to know Jesus Christ, we're living proof that miracles can happen every single day. In this passage of Scripture, and I invite you at your leisure when you have time to read the rest of the chapter, I'm going to pull a few things out of it, but it exemplifies that very thing. He says, it is so that others, in verse 4, he says, I must work the work who sent me while it is day, and the night will come when no one can work. Now, what exactly does that mean? Same thing that the prophecy tells us will happen. Folks, when we, God's church, gets raptured out, okay, and we are gone, and that last 3.5 years or the last 7 years begin, 3.5 being good and wonderful, and then midway through, the Antichrist takes full control. He won't be able to perform the miracles and the works. Because God pulls back, just like he does with us. If you want it without him, he finally gives that exactly what we asked for. If you don't want nothing to do with him, he says, fine. He will come to you over and over and over and over and again. And that's what's called in the Scriptures when it says the thing that can't be forgiven is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You tell him no long enough, finally God says, it's your choice, have it your way. And it's done. Now, we don't know when that point is, but he does. And so therefore we keep trying. I don't want to leave that lingering out there as something. Just because somebody tells you no, they don't want to listen, don't mean the end of it. Your job is to plant the seed. That's all you can do. Okay? But what happens is God pulls back. We saw this in the Old Testament. 400 years before Christ came, there were no more prophets. There was nothing. The world was considered in darkness, and that time will come again. And things will get so bad. God does send two prophets, you read in Revelation, and the people end up killing those prophets, and what do? They celebrate. They drag them through the streets having a party. We saw a glimpse of that October the 7th of last year. What it would look like. Those Israelis that Hamas drug through the streets and celebrated. It was party time. And they will do that again. You see, where God steps back and says, this is what you want. And it finally gets so bad, as we're told in Revelation, that it says that if God didn't stop it, there would be nothing left of mankind or the creation. And so Scripture tells us that that is what will happen. But he says that time is coming, but it's not yet here. And you say, well, yeah, but that was Jesus that performed miracles. Folks, I'm here to tell you, every time you step out and spread the gospel, and you plant the seed, or you fertilize it, or you water it, or you're the one that gets to reap that salvation, a miracle just happened. Every day. Some people say, why do you keep praying for all them people in D.C. and government and all, that the Lord will come to them? Because I still believe He's in the business of creating miracles. And prayer is our most powerful tool. See, I may not be able to go to them and talk to them face to face, but I got a God who I can send my message to, and He will send somebody who can go reach them. That's why we're also told that the shepherd will leave the 99 to go look for that one lost sheep. It's how precious we are to Him. For most of you in here who ranch and all, you're concerned when you lose a cow or a goat or a sheep. But by and large, when you can't find it after a diligent search, you go, well, I guess it just got drug off by the wolves. God don't guess. He goes and hunts. And He finds us. There's no place you and I can run that God can't be there, because He's already been there. And He's got His eye on you and I the whole time. Notice also the thing about miracles, and these people don't understand that. I'm going to kind of shift into it for a minute. God creates miracles on His own will. There doesn't have to be a reason and a why. I always like the evolutionist Big Bang theory. There has to be a system that suddenly just all of the stars aligned and all of the atoms came just right to have that big boom. And wow, we have an earth with gravity and water and all these things. That is a lie of the devil. Okay? It didn't just happen. God orchestrated it. When you look at a sunrise or a sunset, or you look at the stars at night with a beautiful moon when the dust didn't cloud it, you see. No human brain ever thought about doing that. And wow, if you think that's really what happened, I got news for you. You can play the lottery that you might win, because the odds of the lottery are better than that happening in this universe. God allows us to see His awesomeness in things that He allows us to do. And y'all watch that recovery shuttle rocket take off? Now, I'm old enough that I remember, my wife and I talked about that. I said, you know, I can remember when they had the chimpanzee in there. I'm going to date myself. You didn't have cameras to see the chimp. But we saw him when they took him out. And I bet that poor chimp thought, what are these crazy people doing to me? Yeah, y'all just for a moment imagine you're that chimp, right? and they send you into space that you're going to pull all of these G's that humans even say, oh, it's just extraordinary. You just have to. And that poor chimp has no clue what these crazy human beings had done to that guy. And then he splashes down in water, which chimpanzee ain't supposed to be in the water. And then they bring him out in all the front of those cameras, and he's like, really? Just send me back and let me have a banana and go up a tree. But you see, God has given intelligence that we actually, in every astronaut I've ever seen, a person that's gone up in space and the pictures they've seen back, and you look at this world and you go, wow, that is awesome. And the things that he allows to see, as we've seen from a lot of the satellites and the space shuttles that's gone before, when fires are raging or dust is raging, you can see it all the way in heaven. It reminds me how God sees everything. We can't even calculate how many stars there are. We take guesses. We realize that there's far beyond where we're at. And yet God created it all. And He sees it all. And He is the single God over it. So He shows us these miracles that we see of His creation and in people, especially when they come to Him, how that suddenly a person can take a 180-degree turn. There are folks in here that's been addicted to alcohol or been addicted to drugs, and the day they accepted Jesus, they'll be the first one to tell you they had no desire whatsoever. It's gone. They didn't have to go through it was just gone. The rehab happened at Jesus' feet. And exactly what we see here. The rehab of blindness happened because Jesus spat upon his eyes, told him to go and wash it off. And when he did, he could see. Now medicine's going to tell you, that ain't possible, Hoss. But you see, with God, all things are possible. Mark 9:23. You can mark that down. And look at it. And what it tells you is, he says in 9:23, Jesus speaks, and Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. And it's in everything, folks. You and I need to understand, quit looking at it from a world perspective and start looking at it from a God perspective for what He does for us each and every day. I travel a lot. I've seen accidents happen right in front of me and the car spin. And I'm going, man, there ain't no way I can shut down at 70 miles an hour to stop. And yet, I didn't get hit. See the birth of a new baby? That's a miracle. You see the birth of any animal, that's a miracle. You see, we weren't made to live in a sack of water, yet we do, and then we come out and breathe. That's a miracle. We have to quit looking at it from the eyes of the world that, well, how did this happen, and start questioning. God tells us in His Word, He says, come unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you never even conceived. In Jeremiah, things you hadn't and I hadn't even thought about, He will do. It's not that we're so smart. It's God gives us that inclination. You got musicians in here. I got news for you. There may be events that trigger a song, but who allowed them to be there to see that event that triggered that song? Songs don't come from us. They come from Him. If you go to write a song, well, you may have pretty good poetry, but you got to put some music to it and a tune that fits with those words. They don't come from us. That comes from Him. You see, that is exactly where miracles take place that we take for granted every single day. You want to know why we celebrate 98 years old in here? Miss Jean's a miracle. There's a lot of you that's a whole lot younger than her, and y'all can't get around as good as she can. And I ain't at 98, but I can already tell you at 66, I'm like, I don't know if I'd make 98, Lord, golly. There's aches and pains and things that don't work. My brain still works, but my body says, better not do that. You were going to regret it. Miracles are around you and I every single day. And yet we, like these people here in verse 8, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is it not he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "Well, it looks like him, but I don't know if it's him." And we won't go on down a little further. In verse 13, down through the rest, they bring him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees, and they begin to do the inquisition upon him, right? They want to know how he was healed. Surely it was more than somebody spitting on the dirt and wiping it on your eyes. How long have you known this guy? Y'all planned this, didn't you? And you can hear how it just explodes as you read those. And the guy's parents in answering said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind." It ain't some TV miracle. Now we see those type too. And the Lord told us to be aware of those who are false prophets, those who pull, since we're in St. Paddy's Day, the shenanigans upon us. And yes, they are full of malarkey. See, y'all didn't know I'd put you in the message, did you? You did a good job. There ain't no leprechauns, but there is a God. A true and awesome God. And they questioned how this could be. They just could not believe. And they go, how can this be of God? This man who's a sinner, he heals on the Sabbath, he does all these things. They so wound up in their own legalism that they couldn't see the benefits of what God is all about. God is not concerned about you and I coming dressed in coat and tie. God is not concerned about that we speak the right way, that we read a certain translation of the Bible. What God is concerned about is your and my pure heart and a desire to worship Him. Now, I'll be the first to say there are some translations that are not true to His Word. And if you understand and know the Bible and you listen, you let the Spirit direct you, you'll catch on to that real quick. Okay? What I try, most of my ability with God's guidance, is to give it to you straight from the book. And I try to always denote if it's my opinion. But God's Word is true. From the first chapter and the first verse of Genesis to the last chapter and the last book of Revelation. All is inspired by His dominion and His Holy Spirit. Verse 24 down there says, "So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, 'Give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner.'" How blind. They couldn't see it. So folks, the whole purpose of the message is try to understand that God lives and works in our lives and is completing miracles every day. And you and I, just as the Pharisees wanted him to say to give God the glory, it's also exactly that, to give God the glory to those around us who will say, "No, they just got lucky." I got news for you. If I'd been blind all my life and some guy spit on the dirt and told me to go wash it away and I could see, that ain't lucky. That is something to praise God for. Growing up, I've spat on a lot of dirt. I normally wasn't in the habit of picking it up and wiping it on myself. But I got news for you. It's just dirt and it's just spit. Jesus didn't even have to do that. He could have just touched him. And he performed those miracles over and over. And in fact, we know a woman who had a blood disorder didn't even get touched by Jesus. She just felt the hem of his garment. And in the big, huge crowd, he stops and says, "Who touched me?" And those around him, when you read that, think he's totally nuts. What do you mean, who touched you? There's hundreds of thousands of people here, and you ask, who touched you? Because he felt that miracle performed. He knew immediately. I encourage you to look at things not by how did this happen or there has to be a reason for everything. The reason is God. It's the same thing that the bad things happen that people want to know why this evil abounds. It's real simple. It's evil. Don't make it harder than it is. God's word tells us that there are powers and principalities of good and of evil. They exist. Turn with me, if you will, here in closing to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21. Deuteronomy 10, verse 21. It says, "Here, he is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen." And that covers it all. If you're a spouse, you feel so fortunate to have your spouse and think you got the best one in the whole wide world, I got news for you. You did not find him or her by your own volition. God ordained to bring you together. I don't know, one day just going down the road and there she was. That ain't how it happened. And you did not come to know Jesus Christ personally. One day just thought that'd be the thing to do. Nope. You see, his word tells us he gives us the choice, but he also chooses to come and ask and present himself to each one of us. It's exactly what Christmas was a miracle. And he presents that present of himself every day of every year. Not once a year, but every day. And all we have to do is accept it. Now, for those of you who have already been known the Lord for a number of years, I want to tell you this. It didn't stop when you and I accepted Jesus Christ. There are more presents under the tree because God says, "Seek me. Seek my face. Ask, knock, and it will be opened and you will receive." He does it in all sorts of things. I've seen him do it in finances. I've seen him do it in health. Nothing short of a miracle. I've told you that before. I've seen that paycheck get stretched when we gave God first priority to pay things and money left over, and it didn't go up one dime from when I was trying to do it. Bills didn't go down. Things didn't keep happening, but God performed a miracle. I've seen it on health. You have too. We've heard testimony this morning where people are living past what doctors expected. Now, he grants them wisdom. He grants them knowledge. But they can never outdo what he does. Miracles still happen. If you don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you an opportunity to be a miracle today. Christian, you have the opportunity to see and be a part of miracles every single day by living for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads.